Well, good morning, everyone. Colton, thank you for your thoughtful leadership so far this morning. And to everyone for your participation, it is so good to be together. I have missed seeing you, and I'm glad we're here together today. And I pray that God encourages us and builds our faith today. Will you join me in that prayer? Well, we are going to have, I hope, a virtual show and tell this morning. If you saw my pastoral word email yesterday and brought an item with you to church this morning, go ahead and share your video and hold up your items. I'd love to see what you brought. These are items that always get put in the wrong place in your home. Can you share your, I see some eyeglasses. A phone, yes. Some tools. A doll. Excellent. This is very helpful. Thank you. Well, everyone is welcome to have your video on throughout my sermon if you are comfortable. If you prefer not to, that's fine also. In our home, there are two items that always seem to walk off. And I've tried a number of things over the years to try to keep these in the place where I think they belong, and I've failed so far, and I think that if I were to tie the brush to where I think it belongs, somebody would find the missing scissors, and both of them would go missing. So in our home, we use the scissors for projects like craft projects and for cutting open those packages that never seem to tear open right. These are items we use on a regular basis. They're necessary, like the cattle, the sheep, and the doves. They were necessary and valuable because they were part of the sacrificial system whereby a person was cleansed from their sins. And the money changers were needed too. People coming from a distance for the Jewish Passover festival needed a way to change their Roman coins into the Jewish money. And even more important, the temple was absolutely necessary. The temple began as the tabernacle after the original Passover occurred and the Hebrew people were set free from their slavery in Egypt. The tabernacle was the dwelling place of God. So the temple was critically important to the Jewish people as a place where the lambs were sacrificed and where God dwelled. The temple was essential to their lives. The animals and the money changers were necessary, but they were in the wrong place. God's creation was in the wrong place. The temple, the animals, and the people. Now, if you can imagine this scene, and Colton, thanks for already preparing this scene for us. Jesus and his disciples make their way to the festival with a packed crowd of people. Jerusalem's population in Jesus' day was around 50,000 people, but at Passover, it grew to 180,000 people. That's the population of Harrisonburg and Rockingham County and Waynesboro and Stanton all combined. That's some serious congestion. That's more crowded than Costco the day after Thanksgiving, or so I've heard. It's more crowded than Walmart on back to school days. So this crowd of people was jostling as they bought animals, the poorest ones buying doves, and the money changers were seated. They had made a table for themselves, prepared a table for themselves. The money changers were planted and had taken ownership of some of the space. And what they were doing was necessary, according to the system, buying animals for their sacrifice and exchanging their money. But they were in the wrong place. Their location was the temple courts, which was supposed to be for the Gentiles to be able to come and pray. Even 2,000 years ago, Jesus cared about you having access to God. So what does Jesus do when he came upon this scene that made him angry? We've already been thinking about how he might have felt. What does he do? And how do we respond when we are angry, when something or someone is in our space? Now, by the way, anger in itself is a normal human emotion. I got angry maybe 25 times when preparing this sermon because it wasn't working the way I wanted it to, according to my plans. That moves my mind out of place. So anger itself isn't sin. Anger can lead to sin. Well, I wonder if there's a disconnect for us that Jesus, in his anger and in his love for his father's house and the people there, makes a whip. This would have taken time to braid the cords together. What was Jesus thinking and feeling as he made the whip? Were people watching him? Was he praying? On the one hand, as pacifists, we can find comfort that the whip was used to drive out the animals and not to harm the people. But then we remember not only the whip that Jesus made, but the whip that was made for Jesus. A whip that was used cruelly and unjustly on Jesus, the perfect lamb. That whip was out of place. Jesus makes a whip. He scatters the cattle, the sheep, and the coins, and tells the dove sellers to stop misusing this space. It's not a market for you to do what you want with. And for some, that's a lesson that we need to hear today. What temple has God established that you are doing what you want with? For some, that temple is Jesus himself. For some, it's Jesus' body, the church. For some of us, that temple is our own body that we haven't valued as God does. Sometimes our tongues are whips that destroy in our anger and in our hurt. For many of us, the space of God's that we are overtaking is God's creation. We've been misusing God's space and calling it our own. Not only have we misused God's temple, God's space, we, like the money changers, cattle and sheep, have been in the wrong place. We lament and grieve that Christians have so frequently been in the wrong place, on the wrong side of history. For centuries, Christians have tortured and killed others in the name of Christ. It is difficult to stomach the ways that Christians and the church have spread hate and fear throughout history. How much more is Jesus grieved? Is Jesus angry with us? The sacrificial system and the dwelling place of God, the center of what the temple represented, the center of Jewish life, was a sign that all humans were in the wrong place. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone to his or her own way. Scripture and Handel's Messiah paint a picture that on our own, we are helpless and in dire need of a Savior who can move us away from our slavery to sin. It's not just that we sinned once and needed God once. We need God daily, hourly. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour, every minute, I need thee. Our constant need of God is deeper than being people who continue to sin, even as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For many of us, the reason beneath our sin is pride. We get into the wrong space and misuse what is God's because of pride. When we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, we are putting ourselves in the wrong space. We build up our own kingdoms. We create our own systems of how things should be, having more zeal for our own house than for God's house. For others, the deeper sin isn't pride, it's unbelief. And this was the Jews' struggle in the book of John, always asking for a sign, and the sign is right in front of them. And lest we get proud, let's admit we do this too. We recognize how God provided in our past, but we don't trust God for what we need today. The Jews were seeking proof and couldn't find it because Jesus didn't look like what they expected. Jesus wasn't what they wanted, so they rejected him, unbelieving. And this relates to what God said to share with you this week. God said, "You are putting me in a box, trying to make me fit your mold. I am bigger. Serve the way I serve. Love the way I love." I'd like to give you a little time to reflect. So go ahead and grab a sheet of paper and something to write or draw with if you'd like them. You might want a Bible nearby, and I'll read what God said again, and then provide some guiding questions for you to think about before providing some closing thoughts. God said, "You are putting me in a box, trying to make me fit your mold. I am bigger. Serve the way I serve. Love the way I love." In what ways have you been putting God in a box, trying to make God fit into your mold? In what ways is God bigger than you realized? List some ways that Jesus serves and loves. How might God be inviting you to serve and love differently? What is your first step? As you consider whether you will take that first step, consider who wants to walk with you. The Jesus we meet in this passage cared about you so much that he chose to suffer in our place. This Jesus cleared out all that wasn't supposed to be in the temple courts and became the Lamb of God and our forgiveness. Jesus didn't need a sign about us to know that we are out of place. Jesus loved us anyway. When we are tired and frustrated or angry or have nothing left to give, we feel like we are in the wrong place. And maybe that horrible feeling, uncomfortable spot, can become a sweet place. A place of praising God, as Colton referred to. A place where we begin to learn that we are valuable and necessary to God. It's a place of transformation and surrender. May we have the courage to open the box that we've tried to fit God into. We celebrate the vastness of God. May we serve and love like Jesus. Amen.